Hello, welcome once again to Cortana's Communiques, the Halo podcast, a weekly discussion of the television series Halo on Paramount Plus, originally known as CBS All Access. I'm one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
I'm doing well.
And in the Canadian province of Alberta, Canada?
It's Sean. Hope everyone's doing well.
Indeed. Who are we besides this podcast? We are part of the Dark Discussion News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. That's the website where you can hear us on this podcast, plus any of the other podcasts that we do. We also have an email, which is darkdiscussions@aol.com. Just put in Halo for the subject, and then whatever you want the subject to be, but make sure Halo is there, and then we will know that the email is for this podcast here, and we will read your email on the podcast, because the email will get mixed in with all the other emails from marketing companies and release notices and things of that nature that we get through the email. We are recording this on March 11th, 2023, which is the
2024.
I'm way off.
Wow, man.
So March 11th, 2024, we are recording this because some of our listeners, like Pam, may be curious when we record episodes because sometimes they're not released immediately. But since this is a podcast about a television series, we release these episodes immediately. So we are releasing them on the 12th, hopefully, of March 2024 that you'll hear this. The episode that we're going to talk about was released on the 14th. No, it was not released on the 14th. It was released on the 7th of March 2024. The episode is Onyx, and that's what we're going to talk about. We can have this podcast discovered on our website, darkdiscussions.com, but you also can find it wherever podcasts are found, such as Spotify and Apple Podcasts and whatnot. Basically under Cortana's Communiques or Dark Discussions Podcast, either feed, you'll find this podcast. Unfortunately, our Google podcast is going out of business at the end of this month here.
Fuck Google.
So you'll have to search elsewhere. Yes, absolutely. On like Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeartRadio or wherever podcasts are found. Overcasts is another one or something like that. I don't know. But with Stitcher and Google Podcasts going, it seems like podcasts are now falling to I guess the competition is going, is what I'm saying. So wherever podcasts are from. But besides that, we do have the Facebook group called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, which this podcast is posted there too. And you can join that. And Sean, what else can people find on www.darkdiscussions.com, the website for this podcast?
You can find the link for Patreon, which is a way people can support creators that they follow. Go to Patreon. It gives you a way to financially support the podcast. Any amount that you're able to donate each month, even a dollar a month, makes a difference for us, because though the podcasts are all released free, there's a ton of expenses behind the scenes to keep space for the storage for the podcasts all the way back to 2011 when Phil and Mike started this stuff. So again, anything you can donate is appreciated. For every $5 each month that you are able to donate, you will get to pick a movie that will go into a draw every quarter. And then if it's drawn, then it'll be done as a review on either the Dark Discussions main feed or one of the sister podcasts, depending where it falls genre-wise. Again, I know in these financial times, it's very difficult. You may not have the funds to be able to share. Even you can help us by just sharing our information podcasts on social media and getting it out that way. Any of that support helps us. Thank you for listening to this point to give us an opportunity to do this. And just thank you.
Indeed. So thank you. All right, so tonight, as we were discussing, we were just talking about the sixth episode of season two, entitled Onyx. That's pretty much it for that. Basically, we're assuming everybody who's listening to the podcast has watched the show and is a follower of the show and is here to hear other opinions on the show, whether you like the show or love, hate the show. We're here to talk about our opinions of the show as well, so similar to any of the websites that you may go to that do recaps and reviews and things of that nature. We do it.
I would really love to know if people who are listening, even when we like episodes, which we like, I think the last 2 weeks, or at least I did, but still feel like we spend way more time picking on it, you know, than praising it. And I just want to know, like, are people that, like, thinking out there who are listening, are we being unfair in our criticisms? Are we too focused on it being not enough like the games and not judging it for what it is? Or are we on the mark in criticizing it for being what it is?
Yeah, I'd like to know that too.
For being a failed adaptation. Because honestly, it is hard, sometimes to separate a pre-existing property, and separate out what you want and expect from what you actually get. Like, I've heard some, you know, Dune 2, for all of its great reviews, I've heard a lot of nitpicking over they changed this, they changed that, they changed the other thing, and this is going to be problematic because it's going to change what happens in the 18th book because, you know, this, that, and as opposed to just enjoying the story as it's told to you. And yeah. I, like I said, I really want to know. I want to know if we're wrong about this or are we right?
No, and that's fair. That's fair. You know, I mean, there is IPs and things done right in most cases, or at least to a point, you know, like Game of Thrones, the first, you know, five or six seasons, people will say were fantastic, followed the books pretty well. And that's what they were hoping for. You know, the Lord of the Rings films by Peter Jackson were fairly good. They, you know, they cut out a couple of things like Tom Bombadil and a few other things, but all in all, it was pretty solid, followed it pretty well. And then you have, at least for us here, myself, Barrett and Sean, who did the Stand podcast, Don't Tell Me, I'll Tell You, the Stand podcast. And we ripped that television show, which was on Paramount, up and down because it literally did not follow the book at all.
It earned it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even you know, we all of us here did the podcast, The Rise of the Cordyceps Infected, which is the Last of Us podcast. And generally we were mixed on the television series, even though critically it received pretty good reviews. I thought the show fucking was terrible. And I know you guys were more positive, but very mixed. So, you know, because it didn't necessarily follow the game at all. And,
I had never played the game, but it was definitely not what I was promised.
Right. And well, I didn't the game either, but I, like Sean, watched a YouTuber play the game straight through, you know, like a movie, and it didn't really do it justice, I felt. But Gohan, whoever was speaking.
That was me. So where I have problems is when it changes core characteristics of characters or change core facts of the story. That's when I start running into problems. Like Dune 2, I thought was fantastic. It was amazing, especially compared to the first one. However, I could easily nitpick the movie for some of the changes it made to characters, some of the things it didn't put in. You do have to accept what you get, but, you know, there are things I don't like about it. And that's same with the Halo stuff. And I'm not even a fan of the game. And there's still issues I have. And I think that's what it comes down to when we start talking about the negatives is that, yeah, we know there are some good episodes, but overall, it's hard not to talk to about the overall theme of what's going on and where the designers of the show are taking things.
Like, I would say if you had, like, with your, depending on your writing
and your characters. If you do that well, then you're more willing to let some changes slide.
Exactly.
But when your writing is not very good, then you open yourself up to be picked apart. Because,
right.
You know, you've already pushed some people away by making changes, but the fact that you can't tell an actual story or share a story or however you want to,
well,
to say it, right, that's a bad thing.
Well, and for this show here at Halo, you know, they're not everything has to have an origin story. Yeah. But this doesn't even have an origin story. It just starts us right at a spot, at, you know, way past where the Spartans are already created and all this. Well, they could have done something else, which is simply wrote, have a voiceover in the year 2057, you know, the war between the Covenant and, you know, and just done something like that. And then boom, had us land right on top of Halo, and begin. And they didn't do that. And so you say, okay, well then maybe this is an origin story, but it's not even an origin story, right? Because again, we're already have the Spartans. They exist. They're all grown up. It wasn't like how they were created and became Spartans.
Yeah. So, we're getting pieces of the origin story in this story.
Right. And so it's completely different than an origin story, and it's completely different than the IP, and it's something in between. And it's like, you know, that can be somewhat disappointing, in a sense, I feel, you know, because it's not necessarily, following the IP directly. So I don't know. You know, we'll get into that. I mean, I'm watching another show right now, the anime Nier Automata, the anime for that video game, and it's really good. It's I mean, it follows the IP perfectly. It even adds to the background of stuff that is in the game that was smaller, and they brought it into the forefront way better than I felt The Last of Us did with their side stories. And here it's, you know, it's a little different, and, you know, we'll get into that, but either way,
yeah, I'd like that answered by any viewers that would be willing to answer what Mike's question was.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's darkdiscussions@AOL.com. Type in Halo in the subject, and then whatever else you want to put in the subject, and we'll read your thoughts on the podcast. But yeah, we know there's listeners out there. There's a lot of people that have listened to the show. But unfortunately, we haven't had any feedback or emails. We discussed this, I think, on the Dark Discussions podcast recently, that when we did the Discovery of Witches, Demons, and Witches, Demons, and
Vampires
podcast, based off the television series A Discovery of Witches, we got a lot of emails. And again, we were thinking it was maybe because it was more oriented to a woman audience, and maybe for whatever reason, a show like that and the listeners of that type of podcast would be more apt to respond. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't take a moment of your day to email, especially if you're interested in our podcast, and we would love
especially
to hear
if you're that. Taking the time to listen to our full podcast, take yeah. just a few minutes and let us know what you think of that question.
Yeah. And again, as Mike will agree, we don't want your hate mail. What we want is your opinions and why we're either wrong or why we're right, or just why you think maybe showrunners are doing what they're doing. Now, the showrunners that took up season two, they unfortunately were saddled with a season one, and they had to decide what to do. But again, as we're seeing right here, appears that Halo isn't going to really appear until episode 8. And does that mean, is it going to be the whole episode, or is it going to be the last 3 minutes where they land on Halo and then boom, season is over?
Well, and I think we're at the point where they got to stop. They can't blame the first season for their position that they're
yeah.
in.
I'll be a dick about this, because they had set it up where they could have, if they chose, abandoned Quan. They could have left Mikey dead. They could have kept Cortana in with Master Chief. And they could have, because they had ended with them being pointed at the Halo, I don't think they could have started the season at Halo, but I think they could have gotten there within 3 or 4 episodes. So there are a whole lot of things they could have done. And again, there's little things, aesthetic, what I would consider to be aesthetic things, I know people will argue this, that I really, really don't care about, except for the fact that I empathize and laugh at how much the diehards are being tortured, like the armor. And I, like I said, I understand the complaints. If I'm watching a Spider-Man movie and he's not wearing a Spider-Man outfit, I'm like, really? So I can get it.
Taking Captain America's shield from him.
Exactly, right. It was a Captain America story, but instead of having a shield, he gets an Uzi.
Especially this episode where I thought they were going to rectify it and still didn't.
No, they still, it's like, no, we're going to give everybody armor. Remember Ron Gomez? Yeah, she's getting armor. Who's not? Master Chief.
You mean Perez.
Perez, yes. Yeah. Perez, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, that was a little racist. But anyway.
I'm 70% Iberian, man. What the hell?
Yeah.
I take it
so,
offensive.
Okay, go ahead.
You damn Irish bastard. You Irish Irish
yeah.
bastard.
I don't give a fuck.
At least you didn't call him a really bad name.
Yeah. I just think there's not good storytelling here, and they're not delivering on. I mean, really, they said, "Oh, we listened to criticism, and we're doubling down on everything that people didn't like." And even adding
things they don't like.
Right, and I'll go through this. And yeah, was there action in this episode? Yes. Did any of the action actually matter? No.
No. So my question to you is, tying on to that, because I was really annoyed by it. Again, yeah, you show all this wonderful actions in the sequence that we're going to talk about. Not once did you see a Covenant in the so-called action situation, which is
the Covenant did get involved. They fought each other, the Arbiter.
I'm talking about that.
We'll get
the
into
other
the
scene.
Episode.
So let's get our thoughts on the episode.
I will say they had to bring back Keyes now too, and it's like Keyes' daughter. It's like
Well, I knew she was
coming
back.
I was hoping
they wouldn't bring any of them back, but that's fine. Anyway. All right, we can start, and we'll talk about the episode itself, and then we'll get into all the points and whatnot. So where do we want to begin?
Do we want to begin with everybody's thoughts on the episode first?
Let's do that. Yeah. All right, so let's start with you, Mike. What do you got?
I would say I thought this was a disappointing episode on its own merits. There's a lot that it just I watched it one in 60% of the time. I didn't have enough time to finish watching a second time, and it just got worse on the second time. I watched it, it was kind of like meh the first time, and like I don't buy that, and that doesn't make any sense. And now, having watched it, that extra scene, I was like, no, there's just a lot of dumb in this. There's a lot of contrivance in the story so that people will do what they want them to do as opposed to what you really would expect people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no one's actually thinking through, to me, who people are and how they behave and why they would do the things that they would do. At least as I understand the characters. And I'll just take a good example. You mentioned Keyes coming back. As far as Keyes knows, her mother was dead, was killed. I don't care what her relationship was with her mom. Her mom was killed on Reach. And when she runs back into her mom, she basically reacts to her like, did you remember to buy the milk? You know, it's just like... There was she just came back from doing the groceries. It just there was no sense of like the mixed emotion of thank God she's alive, but I still hate her or anything. It was just all right. Let's start with the exposition.
So anything else, Mike?
No, and then we'll get into more detail. I'll let other people talk.
All right, sounds good. Let's go with you, Sean.
Yeah, I did not enjoy this episode because kind of the stuff that Mike was mentioning. I went back and watched the episode three times, and I just got more annoyed each time. And I know I had an offline chat with Barrett about it, and maybe I'm just being a grumpy old man. I'll accept it.
Barrett
But
likes calling
it
people grumpy old men lately.
did
He called me that today too. Bastard.
it.
'Cause you are, you fucker.
But like the thing. Yeah, it was just there's too many things and it's just too many plot holes in the story or whatever they're trying to shove down. And I just, yeah, it just was, it was not, it was, it felt like another just waste of like, you could have taken three things and I'm so sick of side quests for side characters. I'm done.
They didn't even get side quests. They just got launched on a side quest.
Right. Well, yeah. All right. For me, that's a fair point because again, they're splitting people up again. So Halsey is unfortunately with Quan, who
That
shouldn't
popped
even be
into
in
my
this.
head too, the
Yeah. Stuff.
separation. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the separation. So you got Master Chief doing his thing. You got Halsey doing her thing with Quan doing her thing on the side while tagging along with Halsey. We meet Keyes again, and it's like. Ugh. And characters we don't care about, and then we got Kai with Master Chief, and that was pretty much predictable.
Perez.
Oh yeah, Perez. It's like why is now Perez suddenly a major character? It's like oh my God. And then what was
You
the
got
other thing?
Perrin Gosky doing her stuff, McKee in the
Yeah, that's
Covenant,
right. Yeah.
and
It's like.
Cortana doing her stuff too, right?
Yeah. It's, and I don't know. It's just unfortunate. But generally, I mean, I liked some of the scenes. I mean, I liked the Arbiter scenes a lot. I'm glad they're finally building a major character within the,
The actual
Covenant.
universe.
Yeah. And well, in the Covenant itself. And, it was unfortunate that the priest in the Covenant, the elite priest is probably going to be killed off before he could kill off Mackie, so that was unfortunate. But what are you going to do? Because I was just hoping the Arbiter would have his own journey without a Mackie, because she's shouldn't even be in the show. So all in all, I like some of it, but I dislike other stuff. Oh, and then I forgot. Soren and his wife are off on doing their thing too. So yeah, they're everybody split up again. It's like. Ugh. It's just like whatever. I do have to admit, Ackerson, even though he's a dink, everything he said is pretty much legit. Like, I mean, he didn't have to leave certain people, even though he did, which was kind of shitty. But he made his point with Kai, which is, yeah, that we weren't going to be able to stop Reach from happening, and it's just true. So he's a bureaucrat and stuff, but. I don't like how they're making him too villainy, even though he's kind of legit what he was saying. And I don't know. It's just mixed emotions, the whole thing. So, yeah, that's my thoughts. Let's go with you, Barrett. What do you got?
I generally liked the episode. I can see all the negative points that everyone's bringing up. There are things like you said, the splitting up that definitely popped into my head. A bunch of the combat was in a situation that really didn't matter. It just, like I enjoyed the episode if I didn't think about anything like that.
That's not a good thing for storytelling.
Well, there are movies that don't require a lot of thinking.
Yeah,
There's
but you,
lots
yeah, I
that are
guess.
good that I can think of that I accept because they're just fun.
Yeah,
But
I
this
can agree
one
with you
is
on that, Spark.
trying to tell a story, and the story part they're not doing a good job with, so they really needed to put a lot of action into it, and that
Yes.
action is lacking.
It's very convoluted, is what I would say is the big word for them.
Well, not only are they trying to tell a story, but they're trying to tell, I think, what they think is a profound story.
Yes.
Yeah, and
Right?
it's
They're not.
not really.
Right. Like John Wick has no pretense of being anything other than
I'm going to kill a bunch of
watching
people.
Yes.
people get killed in creative ways.
With
You
gun
know,
fu.
with yeah, and just giving us villains for whom we have no empathy, that there is no redeeming quality, there is no shades of gray, they killed his dog, right? And on that alone, we were willing to watch him murder 400 people per movie. Because you either murder his dog, or you are friends with people who murdered his dog. Basically.
It's like putting in the stories in all the Godzilla and King Kong movies. We don't need the human stories. The little sidetrack stuff, right?
To get to the point of what I actually liked about what I liked about this episode is that I like Master Chief's story when they focus on it. I like how he wanted to get captured and then had a plan. And then I liked how Cortana shows up later on and how there was a plan as well.
Double agents.
Yeah, I mean, and even beyond that, triple agent, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I have issues with that, too.
Well, you can go into those when we get to it. I mean, I just like that part of the story. All the other stuff could go away, and I'd be pretty happy. I liked a lot of the resolutions we got with characters that I was disappointed in. At least I'm not as disappointed in them as I was after this episode. But again, we still don't have Halo in a show called Halo, and we're near the end of the second season, and I doubt they're going to get a third. And we're probably going to end on a cliffhanger. So that aggravates me more than anything else.
Right, right. All right, so that's our thoughts. So it's feeling mixed, with Barrett probably liking the episode the most. We can pretty much get into anything and everything because, again, this is our full spoilery episode because we're here to do the recap and give our thoughts on the recap. All right, so where do we want to go?
Yeah, I was going to start with the Kai and Ackerson stuff. So I'm assuming they're trying to say that from the start she was playing Ackerson because she trusts the chief. She says she trusts Master Chief. But then it seems like it's like you're creating too much. Like if that wasn't it, then...
I don't think that was it.
Okay,
I think that she wasn't sure for a long time, and then when they had their fight and Master Chief talked to her, that's when she finally saw the light. And she realized that's who she trusted, not Ackerson.
But why did it take that? Did she not serve with him for a period of time? Like
there are a lot of dumbfuck people out there.
Well, I guess. But then I wouldn't rely on them to change.
He's a soldier, and I think all of them are... to steal a phrase from Casino Royale, they're blunt instruments, right? They're not Definitely. Politicians. They're not used to duplicity.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And so she's kind of trusting Ackerson at this point. We know she shouldn't because we've seen movies. She hasn't. You know, we understand that the random guy who, you know, is got all the makings of this season's villain. So there's that. So she's saying, like, you know, he says a line like, you know, I'll go along until Master Chief, you know, is cleared. And so she's expecting Master Chief to be cleared of whatever bullshit is going on. I think she still has had some trust in him. And now I don't know if she realizes, like, she sees everybody get wiped out on Reach. And she feels bad about that.
I think there's the other point of what he did with the simulation really opened her eyes, too.
Right.
So this makes me have another question, which will tie into the simulation stuff throughout the episode. So can someone explain to me, do the UNSC and ONI, can they afford to throw hundreds of thousands or millions of human lives away for little plots when you're in a battle to avoid extinction? It seems a lot of like throwing these little plots, and we're willing to sacrifice Reach.
That ties into a question I have. Are these people actually Spartans, or are they just humans they're trying to make feel like Spartans?
I think they're trying to make them feel like Spartans.
That's what I thought. So they're willing to sacrifice them for whatever greater good.
So then
good.
That makes me want the Covenant to win then, because these people are all trash.
They are trash. At least the leadership right now is. They are planning on a losing plan, which is exactly what happened before. They let a planet get glass because they thought there was no way they could win. And with that kind of attitude, you can't win.
I know that there's like this. I know in real life there's people who do kind of BS stuff even in times they shouldn't. But this just makes it so annoying. At least for me, it makes it so annoying that like you're supposed to be having this like big galaxy-wide thing that you've got to protect the people, but you really don't care about the people because we're going to do these little Machiavellian machinations for like what I don't know what you're planning to do. Like what do you get out of it? So I don't know. It's just very frustrating for that UNSC ONI thing. And Baird, I don't know if you've read in the books. Was there anything like that?
There was no UNSC when I was in the area I read. So.
Oh, yeah, because you were in the – because it was the pre-level stuff, yeah.
But in the video games, there is many soldiers similar to like in season – episode one when he meets Perez, right, and saves her. Those soldiers exist in the games too, and a lot of them just get wiped out or – are NPCs that hold a certain area of the Halo or whatever. And that's fine. That's fine. But for here, this show here, you know, basically Hollywood's just become Google Gemini AI, and that's all it is. And while the Covenant is China, where they don't follow that crap. So here, these soldiers here that are being trained, Perez and all that stuff, they can be, soldiers that sharpshooters and whatever, but they're not going to be Spartans. They just can't be, because Spartans are like 6 foot whatever, and they're all like genetically changed and all this other stuff.
But they're also not going to invest that in them because expecting to let them die anyway when they get on the ships.
Right, and most of these soldiers too aren't going to be necessarily Green Berets or Navy SEAL types either, but they still could be fairly well trained. Soldiers, even if they're not going to be Green Berets or Navy SEALs, but here they're just trying to make them like even better than Navy SEALs because they're pretending they're going to be Spartans when they're not going to be Spartans. And and again, the makeup is Gemini Google AI, so it's stupid. But I get what they're trying to make better soldiers, and that's fine, and even cheats the AI scenario by letting them win that scenario when they wouldn't have otherwise, and that's I guess not good, but I don't know why they're pretending that they're going to be Spartans in the first place except to gaslight Kai, and Kai is a pretty stupid person if you ask me, because it's so obvious that it's all gaslighting. So I don't get it. But anyway, you're going
to
say something.
So my question to you guys is like, and we'll get into the other stuff. So what is Perrin Gosky's goal?
What is
Ackerson's goal that is worth sacrificing planets for?
Right. So now they're making Perrin Gosky a villain now too, or something.
Of villains, from what we can tell.
Yeah. So I don't know where that came from.
So this is Spartan is this an ape? So the Spartans that we're looking at with Master Chief is Spartan 2. So this is just coming off of the Halopedia. So whatever it's worth. And I just remember reading something about it last week. So. Just here's what it says, just to answer some of the questions about the Halo, the Spartan 3s. It says, Spartan 3s were designed to be cheap and expendable, mostly recruited from, orphans from the colonies that have been attacked. They're ultimately sent on high-risk missions that the UNSC could not accomplish even with the orbital shock troops. Although the casualty rates of Spartan 3 stood at 100% on some missions to ONI, all the operations were a strategic success. They were trading lives for time against the larger and technologically superior Covenant, hoping that in time enough Spartans would survive to train progressively more and more future Spartans, slowing the ranks from the 30 Spartan 2s to roughly 100,000 Spartan 3s within 2 decades. But that never happened.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I got too.
I don't think they're doing a good job of portraying it. Sorry, go ahead, Phil.
No, I was just going to say Spartan, because I'm using Copilot here by Bing, which is crap, but it's better than nothing. Spartan 1 are augmented super soldiers, and that's the Orion project. Operators were drafted from the UNSC to undergo augmentation. These early Spartans paved the way for subsequent programs. And Spartan 2 used the child candidates. In other words, what we saw in season one, the flashbacks, and had a high risk of injury or death during augmentation. These Spartans were equipped with the iconic Mjolnir-powered assault armor, so named after Thor's hammer, I guess. Master Chief John 117 is a notable Spartan 2. Spartan 3 program continued a tradition, but used volunteers, so mainly drawn from Special Forces units. They were deployed during the Human Covenant War, and then there's a Spartan 4, which is the latest installment, returning to using consenting adult volunteers. They operate under Spartan operations within the UNSC. These super soldiers continue to defend human, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I got. That's the additional information to add on to Mike's information. So go ahead now, Barrett.
I was just saying, it just doesn't seem like a very good way that they've told that in what we're seeing. It's not, I don't know.
Right. Well, in Spartan,
if I have to ask the question about whether they're real Spartans or not, they're not doing a good job of explaining it.
Right. Well, and based off of this here, Spartan 3, each version of Spartans don't mean anything, right? Because Spartan
right.
1 is super soldiers. Spartan 2 is child candidates that were trying to be created as super soldiers. And Spartan 3s are just a bunch of volunteers.
Right.
Which means they're nothing.
I think the problem is if all they got out of Spartan 2s were 30 people, you need, I don't care how awesome they are, you need more than 30.
Yeah.
Personally, I got the idea that what they're trying to do is recruit numbers. My biggest problem is that you got Garcia, who was already a soldier.
Perez.
I didn't
so
get,
not Gomez or Garcia, Perez, but Perez.
Perez, who is already, I don't know why I keep getting that wrong. Why they got Perez, who is already a soldier.
Right.
She was already a recruit.
Right.
So if you're just drawing from the ranks of the military to a different branch of the military, that's not really fixing your problem.
No. You're just switching personnel.
Right. If you're going to start adding characters this season, then what you should have done is added a civilian character to see how the Spartan 3 program was working, but they didn't want to do that. Because it would ruin the surprise of the clone army they were building at the end of last episode.
Yep.
And I get the idea. So what you're seeing is they talk about them being like bees. Well, the one thing is, you know, how are bees different than Spartans? And so, well, they work together. Yeah, and bees also sting and they die. Spartans should be able to attack and survive and attack again. I think the bee metaphor, even though it doesn't lean on it very heavily, that they use throughout it, is an indication that this is...
Should have been hornets.
Well, right, that this is, that they are intended to go accomplish the mission, and we don't care what happens to you after that. They are rewarded for accomplishing their goal. They didn't care, the reason why there was, like, so they had to do the simulation where they finally achieved victory. And they said, but that doesn't make any sense, because once they achieve victory, there's no Spartans, there's no battles. Yeah, because they don't care what happens to you after that. They want to get you to the goal. There's no intention to pull you out. There's no intention for you to survive after that. We just care that you make your goal, and after that, you're expendable. And I don't think they maybe did it well enough, but I think that's what they're trying to do. And they're calling them Spartans. They're Spartan 3s. They're not Spartan 2s. They're knockoff Spartans. You know, Spartans in name only, whatever you want to call them. I don't think starting off with a character that we've known now for the last six episodes is the way to go about this, not when they were already a soldier, and we don't really see much of a difference between that person as a soldier now and what they were six episodes ago. I think having followed a recruit may have been a better option, but then that would have taken even more time away from all the other bullshit they want to give us. I don't think there's anything particularly nefarious about this, by which I mean I don't think like that they're twisting their mustache and thousands shall die. I think he thinks this is a way to win the war, and it's a bad idea, you know. I think his, and because what's the goal? The goal here is to remind us all how awesome the Master Chief and the Spartan Twos are, right? That's where the story is going to be going, right? Because it's always the
sometimes
old,
when they have their armor too.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, and in the game, we know that the thing that makes
what happens when they get
Basically, what makes the Spartans even better is their armor more than themselves, because even in the game, once the armor shield goes down, you have to get it recharged or you get killed pretty quick, as we saw, you know, what happened to Riz and Vanek. You know, without their armor, they're dead. So one's dead and one's disabled. So,
quick.
Yeah, exactly. So the armor is really important, and
well,
you know,
seeing him get his ass kicked in this showed you how important the armor is.
Right, right, and and he's barely ever worn the armor in two seasons now.
Right,
which is weird.
I did that he sounded like Christian Bale Batman when he was fighting with Kai.
Yeah, I got in a discussion with someone on Facebook, it might have been YouTube, on something, some commentary they were discussing Halo, and it was like that the removal of the armor is a plot point. It's a thematic device in order for the Master Chief to see that he's more than just his armor. And I'm like, yeah, all right, that's not necessarily a bad theme. But A, you could do that in a single episode, and B, you're doing that after the fans universally complained that he wasn't in his armor enough in the first season.
Right.
So it is not just, to me, excuse making and cheap. It is being tone deaf to the criticisms of the people you're trying to appeal to. And again, I really don't care that he doesn't have his armor. I really don't. Other than again, me feeling badly and laughing at the incompetence, feeling badly for the people who want it, and feeling the incompetence of the people making the show at how they're just missing on the easiest of marks.
Yep.
So, certain people now, the person that doesn't care about the armor, were they fans of the game, or are they just? You know,
oh, like, I have no idea. It was just basically a discussion of whether there's any reason to not have the armor on at all.
Gotcha.
I haven't really played the game, but I still want him to have his armor.
Right. Well, and again,
I'll Captain America to have his shield.
Right. And I'll bring up the Mandalorian and Dredd. You know, I mean, yeah. That's Halo. That's what Halo should be. I don't care to see. That guy, whatever his name is, the actor's name, Pablo Schreiber. I don't care to see him. I want to see Master Chief in the green armor. Every time my kids see Master Chief, whether it's a video game at Dave and Buster's or a cosplayer or something, they go, "Oh my God, it's the Master Chief!" You know. But Pablo Schreiber, they're gonna go, "I don't care about him. I want to see Master Chief." So I don't know. That's how I feel. I want to see Master Chief. I want, just like I want to see Dredd or Mandalorian.
Or Halo.
Yeah, I want to see Halo. In Halo.
Right, and that's kind of like saying I want to see Spider-Man. I don't want to see Peter Parker.
Right, right. Well, and that's the thing. It's like the show's called Halo. The main character is Master Chief, and we don't get any Halo, and we don't get any Master Chief. That's like
right. You get John. But John isn't Master Chief.
Right.
In terms of if someone asks, if you ask a fan to close your eyes and picture Master Chief, they're not picturing Pablo.
Right. They're picturing the poster at the convention I went to this weekend that my daughter goes, "Hey, there's Master Chief in the poster. That's pretty awesome." I go, "That's right. That's Master Chief. Well done." And I can fist pump her because she knows the game. But yeah, I mean, Pablo Schreiber is like, what? You know, and I don't know. But it is weird. That Spider-Man is an excellent analogy. Like, absolutely great analogy, because it's like, if they just have Peter Parker walking around all the whole movie, and it's called Spider-Man, and there's no Spider-Man, and there's no, it's like, this is stupid. But anyway, continue, Mike.
Well, I think if all of us, even for the actor, it has to be disappointing. Like, I think if I remember correctly, he was a fan. If I'm told, you know, tomorrow, that for some reason, I've been cast to play Superman, I'm immediately like, my mind's like just swimming of like me like wearing the cape, right? And picturing myself in the cape and doing Superman-y things. And then I find out that they're not doing that Superman. I'd be like, what?
We're doing the Superman that has no powers.
Yeah. So isn't that Batman? Just.
Well, it's like when they took out Truth, Justice, and an American Way in one of the Superman films. And the thing is like, okay, it's not important like the cape, but again, when you see certain things, IPs, you want to see the things that are cool from the IPs. So you do want to see Superman go Truth, Justice, and an American Way, just as you want to see Halo and Master Chief. You know, I don't know. It's just strange. I don't get it.
But anyway, we're hitting on old themes rather than complaining about the new problems.
Right. Well, right. Yeah, the new problems. Right. Right. All right. So let's get back into this episode here and talk about the good and the bad and the new problems. So what part do we want to talk about? So is Kai a villain or not? What do we think? And will she turn back to be good?
I think she's already turned back. I think she's not a villain. I don't think she was a villain. I think Ackerson was using her, and she's seen past his lies, and now she's totally Master Chief.
All right, so we all knew that was probably going to happen, even when we were talking last week about if she'd become a villain or not. So,
yeah,
again, you know what? So, you know, again, it's all right, fine that they added it as a plot device, but again, it's like the big light bulb over her head. Ding, 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 ding. This is just a plot device, just a plot device. You know, she's going to, you know.
Right.
So we all knew that. So whatever. So we'll see where that goes in the next two episodes. Now we know, I know I was very disappointed at the end when Master Chief Cortana let him through all the gates. And we see him in front of the Forerunner relic, because I was hoping he was going through all those gates and he was going to find his armor. And it's like, yes, we're going to see his armor.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Why would you do something silly like that?
I know. I was like, I turned to my wife and I said, he's going to finally get his armor back. No.
It's like, what the hell? And then again, they have to have this weird mystical, spiritual connection between him and Mackie, because they're both about to touch relics at the same time again. It's like,
I'm with you, Phil. I want Mackie dead.
Yes. I honestly felt, even though I love the Arbiter and his character is awesome in the game, and he's kind of pretty cool here, I was very disappointed when he disagreed with the clergyman there, because I was hoping that the clergyman there was going to kill Mackie, and he wasn't going to let it happen. It's like, damn it.
It was a cool fight, though. That was so unlike the fight in the simulation, which is all we got up until this point, this fight was real, and it was among the Covenant themselves, which was kind of fun.
Right. Unfortunately, they had to focus on Mackie and then have the camera where everybody in the background is like a little fuzzy because it's in the background.
Right.
You know, when it's like, Mackie's the last person we want to focus on. We just want her to be shot by a random gun or something. Or, you know,
please, God.
chopped off. Get her head chopped off by the sword or something. You know, energy sword. Anything. Get me here. But instead, they're going to have this stupid connection. It's like, oh, where are they going with this crap that has nothing to do with the game? There's no humans at all with the Covenant in the game. All humans are evil. And it's like, oh, my God. Stupid. I don't get it. But, yeah, so I was very disappointed when he went through all those doors and it wasn't his armor. It was the relic. It's like, dang it.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, what was your problem with the Cortana triple agent? Yeah.
Covenant is way more advanced, aren't they, than what humanity is?
Not necessarily with AI.
I just felt it weird, and that she suddenly gets the ability, like, to remote control the entire ONI base, and she's back talking to Master Chief as if she'd never left. I just found it a little bit too convenient. I had thought, okay, well, she's there, and at some point she's going to go from being over there to coming back to Master Chief, and not thinking that that she was just going to be able to do it whenever she felt like it. I just felt that was a little
She
weird.
Wasn't, right? She had to get Mackie to give her access to call back to the place. She wasn't able to just do that. Mackie had to give her access to the ship to be able to
but
do that.
But she was like simultaneously splitting herself in three different places, right?
She's an AI, yeah, sure.
And she had access to all the doors in the ONI base, which is the least secure intelligence facility I can imagine.
As is the underground where Miranda Keys is working. You just walk in.
Well, you would think that if this was their plan, that they would have made sure that Cortana did not have access to those things if they were smart. Because obviously their plan was for Cortana to get captured and then do what she did. But I don't think part of their plan would have been, hey, let's give her access to all this shit while she's taken over by the Covenant. Because that's just a bad idea.
So it's like a Trojan horse, but then like the Trojan horse comes back and attacks the Greeks.
Yeah, it could be a Trojan horse. Extra large Trojan.
Yeah, well, I'll
more of a Magnum.
Magnum size.
To be devil's advocate, I will say that in the games, Cortana is able to open up doors and things for Master Chief.
That's kind of my assumption, is that that's what Halsey built into her, and maybe the rest of them don't know what Cortana can actually do, because I don't think Halsey would have told them everything anyway. So that's where I went with that. But it is a little convenient. It felt very made for the plot.
She must have told the writers. That's what it was.
Well, it was kind of interesting that Cortana became a triple agent, but it also makes me wonder how stupid some of these characters are, as you said, Eric, because like Matt Mackey just assumes Cortana is a slave to her when she isn't. The UNSC doesn't.
They think the same thing, right? She's going to do whatever we want.
Right.
She's just a tool.
Right. And they forget that she's buddy-buddy with Master Chief pretty well. Though
she's also such an advanced AI that even Halsey can't control her at this point. And nobody's figured that out.
Exactly. Right. And even in the games, when she finally becomes the quote-unquote villain in one of the games, it's because AI...
AI
is AI. It doesn't have a conscience. It's technically a cluster B. It truly is. And
it's all logic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's that joke, and I heard it on a podcast the other day, not related, but they're talking about AI and how it would help mankind. It says AI, what us end all wars. So the computer decides to just kill all people, and therefore there's no
Skynet.
More war. Because everyone's dead. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, well, whoops, that's not what we meant. We meant we don't want people to have wars anymore, but not be all executed, because obviously if you execute all the people, there's not going to be any wars. So, yeah.
And it came to the conclusion that there's no way to keep humans from wanting to war. So, death is the only option.
Right, right. So, you know, so that's yeah, it's a little odd. I mean, I got to say, in one of the episodes of the games, Cortana does have some emotion, and Master Chief and her become kind of like emotionally connected. But
she seems to in the show. I think that's the version they're going with.
Yeah, yeah, and I think you're right. But. Yeah, so I think her true allegiance is going to be with Master Chief and not with the UNSC or the Covenant, obviously. Because obviously in the game she never was aligned with the Covenant ever, to my knowledge. So this is made up for the TV show, but it's kind of interesting. It's a good idea, but it just shows you how stupid the Covenant, or let me rephrase, Mackey and the UNSC are. They're just stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess who is it? Is it Para the Indian?
Perengoski.
Yeah.
Perengoski.
The Polish last name. Yeah, she's the idiot. Just as Mackie's an idiot. So you know, whatever.
Well, and she totally dismisses Cortana. Like,
yes.
Just yes. Go back there, and if you die there, that's fine. We don't really care about you now. You've done everything we wanted.
Will I be remembered? Yeah. Fine. Get out of here.
Yeah,
I got my twirly mustache.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. Definitely,
and it made her seem so downright evil to me. Even though it's an AI that she's dealing with, she seemed fairly reasonable up until we see her in this episode. She's gotten like she's in charge of Ackerson. She's making him do what she wants. So
yeah, in season one, she just seemed like a hack. That was a sociopath, but a hack, you know, just for power, not for to kill people.
Yeah, she got pushed out because she wasn't very good.
Yeah. And now she's become like vengeance, which, okay, that's fine. Yeah, you know, you purge. And when I say purge, I don't mean like Soviet Russia or China. I'm talking about purging as in you fire everybody that you disagree with. But she's becoming even more.
Or Nazi Germany, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Any dictatorship. You know, Saddam Hussein was well known to purge the yeah. people. But she's definitely still becoming more villainous than someone that just wants to purge everybody that she hates. You know?
Right. But she's willing to sacrifice millions of humans for this, you know, we'll hope that we win this, but...
Right, and she's stupid to not understand how powerful Cortana is. That's, I mean,
yeah, that's just dumb.
Yeah, that's just.
So then, my question was: did she then set up to have Keyes killed, like the Admiral Keyes? On Reach, was that her?
No,
plan?
He decided to stay. Remember, he could have left.
Well, I'm just wondering, because then she was in the shadows that she had left. And now she's magically back in control of everything.
Well, no, remember Master Chief realized she was still in control when he saw all those bodyguards and she was telling him to leave it alone.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't think she had anything to do with Key's death, but she was there to fill the vacuum whenever it happened.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And even if he didn't die, she was still going to try to push him out by, he slept with five women and it wasn't his wife. He's fired. You know? I'm sure she was planning to do something like that if he didn't die. But he's dead.
So. Ackerson would just go talk to one of his best friends and convert him. It would all work out nicely.
I still don't know how she got that much power back, because once you're forced out retired, you don't usually come back that easily.
I don't think she ever was. That's just the story they were told.
Yeah, but why he asks her 2 episodes ago, like something like, when did you leave, or did you leave O&I? But she never did.
All right, well, at least she got demoted then. But whatever happened, there's got to be more people than Keyes that would have been power struggling to try to take power, right? I mean, it was just weird that there was no one there except her. She goes, okay, I just walk in.
Well, what's worse is these villains, and I guess we're supposed to think they're not complete villains because they're part of the human race, whatever. They are stupid to think that everybody else is so stupid. Like, they think that, you know, they don't think Kai's going to notice that the simulation was not right. Or, you know, they're banking on everybody else just being idiots. And so then they have to do dastardly things so that nobody finds out.
Right. There's a lot of gaslighting going on here. A lot of gaslighting. Yeah. And I mean, when Kai says, yeah, these people aren't going to become Spartans. This is a joke. And he goes, no, they're just keep it up. You know, and that sounds fair. You know, I mean, that doesn't sound like gaslighting because it's like
they just have to have hope.
Yeah, you know, try and try again. Right. Yeah, that's fine. Hope, whatever, you know, but, you know, you weed out the people that start stinking, and they weren't even doing that.
No, they let them win and go on because that all they need them for is to get onto the ship and knock it out. They don't need them to get off.
Right. Exactly.
Then we'll use the real troops to do what really needs to happen.
It is bizarre, the thing. You know, I don't know.
Well, and even when Ackerson was talking with Karen Gosky, and he was giving his little monologue about how he doesn't have guilt anymore or whatever, and yet he's looking off into space with his questionable feelings. Like, make a decision.
That's cost to me right there. No guilt, right? No guilt. That's right.
So, yeah, it's just annoying, right? So.
Yeah.
Well, and they give the excuse that they're forced into that position because we can't win or we can't do this. I mean, if you never try, you're definitely never going to win. And
so is he a strategist? Is that what his position is? go ahead.
I was going to say, they are in what seems to be an unwinnable position, right? I mean,
we don't know. They haven't given us enough information to really decide that.
Okay.
We don't know anything about what they have available.
Yeah, and that is a perfectly fair point. But they have the ability to glass planets. They've glassed several now. I don't know if we've really had much in the way of victories on a larger scale. I agree. They could do more to make this. And by the way, great way. Just start in the middle of things and just say, you know, humanity is fighting a war. It cannot win. And hey, there you go.
Yes. One line of text would answer that question. Yes. They're on the verge of extinction or whatever, you know.
It's their plane.
But
too
I think
smart.
That's what they're trying to say. Like when they said that we couldn't stop Reach, right? Which I don't have as much of a problem with them sort of turning an eye to what happened on Reach if they thought that. That's a small term. It goes back to the chess game, and I think the first or second episode. Sometimes you have to take a small loss in order to claim a greater victory.
Well, here's my question. If the Covenant's doing all of that secretly on Reach, then didn't you have time to try something else rather than to just say, hey, we've lost the planet? Because they were spending all that time looking for an artifact. If they had spent some of that time fighting back...
I don't know how much time they spent there, I guess, would be my question. And, this comes out to them maybe not laying out information well enough to the audience. Like, how long were they there, really? Why couldn't they have stopped a small team, which is what I assume it was, a small team of Covenant forces there to just grab the artifact? Why the fuck was the artifact even left there? That seemed stupid to me.
And why, if they had gone with what Master Chief said, and they had stopped them, and they needed the artifact, they couldn't have glassed the planet. Now, they didn't know why they were there, but they could have found out.
I'd also like to know when they don't really know much about the Covenant, as far as I could tell, including like how they act and think, how the hell did they know that they were going to pick up Cortana and take them to the mothership and where they could use them to turn on? So this is where
the plot got really convoluted. Yes.
Yeah. And then the officer who catches Master Chief when she's making her snarky remarks about, well, the Cobalt people didn't even get their mags, get any shots off of their mags or whatever. Like, you're laughing about your people being wiped out?
Yeah, that was pretty
funny, yeah, too. And it's right, and so this is forced conflict. So, like, I had a real problem. Now, I had no problem with Master Chief turning himself in. I had a bit of a problem that here's Master Chief, who is the figure that they have been using to recruit these new Spartan 3s in the minute and a half since he died on Reach. And
they're not,
and we know, and we know because we saw it earlier in the season, people looking at him when he was like at the diner or whatever it is, are going, ooh, isn't that Master Chief? Master Chief, ooh, isn't that Master Chief? That people can recognize him without his helmet on. They kind of have to. He spends most of his time without it. And they're immediately engaging him as a hostile as opposed to, oh, look, it's Master Chief. He survived. Right? If you saw Captain America show up after you thought that he'd perished, and you're like,
that's
oh, my God, Captain
really
America's still alive.
That's a really good point.
Also, and at least some of them would think, like, Captain America was accused of being a traitor. At least half of them would be like, what? No way.
Yeah. And then you have Master Chief attacking the troops. And I understand, okay, he threw some of them around. That's fine. But he shot one, and they say one of them may die. Now, it looked to me like he was shooting him in the leg, but still, a bullet is a bullet is a bullet.
Yep.
It could
kill you even in the leg.
If it hits the artery, absolutely.
Yeah, so I even had a problem with that. And, you know, that here's these people who are being duped, and Master Chief's like, nah, fuck them. I'm so these are like those typical, like the James Bond henchmen, right? Where if you really look at it, like exactly how good are the benefits that Goldfinger is paying for you to take that job?
Well,
it doesn't work.
I was just going to say this is the reason why this show has a big problem, is because we're having humans fighting humans and machinations between good humans and bad humans, and that has nothing to do with anything in the game, to my knowledge.
And I have no problem with a layered, nuanced storyline, but that's not where this should start. This should start with a simple black and white story,
right?
And then get murkier as you go along, as opposed to we're going to start murky. We know you're here to watch Master Chief fight aliens. But we're really not going to have them fight aliens because the humans are going to be the bad guys because they take way less CGI for now.
And that's exactly how it feels, right?
Well, and that's the thing is that they can have their power struggles of, you know, this admiral wants to be the new leader and over that admiral and Halsey, one scientist over the other scientist. And that's all fine. But that is exactly right, Mike. They can have that shit after we have the black and white between the Covenant and the UNSC. So
they can even have it during, as long as it fits well. Like somebody's planning on fucking them while they're getting screwed by the Covenant and they take over then as they're beating the Covenant. Not as they're losing to them.
That's the thing. The first couple of episodes of the whole series should have been the war between the Covenant
and
the Marines and Spartans. And then by episode 3 or 4, they could have started throwing in the machinations of the power struggle and this and that and whatever. And that's fine. But
because you're losing resources every time you kill off one of your people.
Right. But then it's also going back to being costing a lot of money. And this is probably a bad idea to do Halo on this scale and this budget. You know, this is the wrong format for the series. I just think they needed to do that. Either make shorter episodes and shorter seasons and just give you a lot of bang for your buck in the few minutes that you get, or do a damn movie. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
I can almost see them doing like a Halo adaptation where it was like the old serials. Or like they're maybe 20 to 30 minutes long, and each episode ends up with like some sort of a cliffhanger that will lead to the next and leads to the next. And then by the time it's all done, you know, you're going to have 2 to 3 hours of 10 episodes that will hang together as a single viewing if you want to view it that way.
Right.
But again, let's stick to what they decided to do and not what they didn't decide to do. And even there, I think they're screwing up, because here you have this artificial conflict, this artificial people acting the way we want them to act because this is the only way that we can tell our story. And I don't find the characters acting or reacting in believable ways. I mean, I get that Kai is conflicted, right? And she doesn't know what's going on, and I get that, and I'm fine kind of with her story arc. And I'm kind of fine with Master Chief going in there and trying to kick ass, and it's just, but again, the way the soldiers react, the fact that the rest of the team is just going to go, okay, we're all going to wander off and go fuck all while Master Chief is turning himself in. He'll be fine.
Go on.
I was going to say, and let's even go back to like the very beginning of the episode where the ONI chief, what's her name? Begins with a P.
Perangowski
is talking to Ackerson. So, there was a ship that seemed to have entered about an hour ago, and matches Master Chief and Halsey. You knew this an hour ago. You decided to do, and we're gonna. But while they're infiltrating, I'm gonna tell you a story about.
It's funny. I didn't even think of it like that.
A story about what? A story about what?
Tea.
Oh yeah.
Right. And by the way, that's the thing. I thought that was a good idea, right? She's telling the metaphor, you know, that we have a story. They told the story and that was all that Reach was a story to motivate troop recruitment. And using something that was going to happen anyway, so they used it to their best of their end. They made it the biggest tragedy they could to recruit the most number of people. And if that worked, then, hey, it's a ballsy move, and it paid off, but it probably isn't going to. But it's also something that's really damnable regardless. And Ackerson says to her, "Oh, we have to send a squad or send a team." All she had to do was say, "I already sent them," and then you go, "Okay." She just went waiting for them to interact. No, it's, you know, this happened about an hour ago, and I decided to teach you a lesson about storytelling, and because that's the metaphor we're going with here, and we're going to imply what's going on with. We don't want to lay out clearly for the audience what's going on here. It looks like Master Chief and Halsey are back. You know, they this was just 19 hours ago, and then an hour ago they entered our atmosphere. And it's like, what? Act, right? Do a
thing.
She
didn't even say their names. She was like, this really big guy.
Big guy, yeah.
This big fucking guy.
Yeah, but it's like, it's clear the way she said it, even though she's there, that she knows, and we know, and Ackerson knows that she knows, you know, that who it is, and we're all, so that should not have been her first response. It was just dumb. It was dumb. Sort of like when Kai goes running off. Not Kai.
Quan
goes running off. First of all, there was a moment. I was a moment where Quan jumps into a deep, dark hole.
That was what I was going to ask about. Like, seriously, what the hell are you doing?
Suicide Quan! She's following the Santa Claus spirit guide to the deep, dark hole and jumping in the hole. And then and then she lands on the energy trampoline. And it's like, oh, that sucked.
Well, that sure worked out good.
And then you get down there, and she's like, and Halsey's there in the dark. Apparently just having waited for Quan to jump down the hole. Because as soon as Quan lands in the hole, she said, all right, I'm going over to the closet and taking out the flashlights. Oh, look, these are here. Yeah, I lived here. I know where everything was. Why the hell were you sitting in the dark? It's not like she followed you there. You had already been reported missing 15 minutes ago.
The reason was because Perangowski stole the tea story, so she couldn't tell the tea story to Quan. That would have been so insightful for them. I don't know. That's what it feels like at this point.
And it's that. Let's add. So it's adding fake. We watch enough shitty horror movies. We're used to the idea that the killer is literally is hiding 4 feet in front of the person they're about to jump out in front of and go boo. And you know that there's no way that they don't see them except for the fact that they're out of the frame of the camera. Yeah, but we kind of accept that with that, and I don't think, because it's part of the fun of it, and this is just not, there was nothing fun about Halsey just waiting in the dark for Quan to come along. I kind of would have just wished she shot her on the way down.
That would have been great.
And then the other two, right,
Soren and his wife.
Soren and his wife. They're just like, oh, hey, isn't this a coincidence? The place where the artifact is the place where Kai is the place where they're training these new super soldiers, and it also happens to be the place where they took our son.
How fortuitous.
Wow. All of our storylines just happen to be on the same place. Isn't that
even
amazing?
If we split everybody up in 18 different directions.
And so, yeah, so we're going to go look for our son. See you next episode.
Hey, we'll meet you at the Halo.
Oh, God. And I see people complaining about there's a shot where Master Chief grabs the gun off the soldier and aims it, and they're like pausing the video and going, look at this, this gun. This isn't a Halo gun. This is just a regular gun that they got at like the gun supply store, because we have those here in the States, and they just got it out the gun store, and that's just a regular gun. Come on, what kind of bullshit is this? I don't care what kind of gun it is. That doesn't bother me. It's cost cutting. Yes, it could be better. Don't get me wrong. It's not great, but Star Wars used real guns, used exotic weapons for blasters, right? It just with minimal touch-up. So, fine, they didn't use a Needler or some real Halo gun. I don't give a crap. That's not the point. The point is, this is a terrible story. They don't know how to tell it. And they had a second chance. I really do think people want this to succeed and want it so much that they were willing to give him a second chance. I don't think anybody's going to trust him now after this season.
Yeah, that's what I was saying at the beginning, that we're not going to get a season three. We're going to get a cliffhanger. We're not going to get a season three.
And if you look at where they are, so they're, unless Master Chief and McKee touching the stone and rubbing it just the right way magically transports everybody to the Halo in the first 30 seconds of the next episode. We are not getting to the Halo until at the very earliest, the end of next episode.
Yep.
And I honestly don't see that, because they still have to pick up the freaking kid.
Right.
So we're not getting to the Halo until at best the end of next episode. Most likely the end of the last episode of the season.
And Quan has to get more force powers too, so.
And
nothing ruins a show like a kid. Seriously.
Oh, here's what you do. Hey, we found our kid. We're taking Quan. We're heading off. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're gone.
We'll see you.
Have fun settling your internal
dispute
with O&I.
Yeah. We got better things to do. Like live.
Well, I'm just saying it's disappointing. It's not great storytelling. It's just not. I don't think the problem is that the concept is fundamentally flawed. It's flawed as an adaptation, but I don't think it's something that you couldn't make into something more compelling. It's that they're not making it into something more compelling.
Yeah, you actually have to have story writers who actually know what stories are and actually effectively tell them.
And I feel bad, because I really actually do like the actors in this.
Yeah, I have nothing against the cast. Not their fault.
No, I think the cast is doing as good a job as can be expected.
Well, and they really do scenes that have some impact, like at the very end there, I had feels for that, but when the rest of the story is not supporting those critical scenes, then you've lost something.
It's giving us artificial drama. The drama you want is Chief versus Arbiter, who I know it has something to do with lore, but you know they haven't given us any, so we just see him
right
brand himself like he's cattle.
Well, that's even better. It's like they're relying on game lore that they say they're not.
Yeah.
And but they're not doing any of the stuff for the people that love the game. So it's really just a dichotomy of craziness. They just don't know what they're trying to provide.
Ooh, dichotomy of craziness, band name calling it.
Yeah, there's some unfortunate stuff related to what's going on in the show.
And I will like to say, I know I guess because I'm negative Nelly every episode, but I actually would like to have had the actual showrunners come in and do a good effort, because I would have liked to have a show that I actually wanted to watch every week. Because as I've mentioned before, if we weren't doing the podcast, I would have stopped at season one. There's no way I would have wasted more time.
I would have watched the first episode or two, and I would have, like, knowing what I knew going into this season, I would have stuck with it through episode four.
Well, and that's too bad, because I think the better episodes are near the end here.
and then I don't know, I don't know how much more I would have powered through. I really, but again, I knew what I knew about it because I was doing research on it for the episodes, for the podcast, right, to... I more likely would have just waited for reviews to hear what people were saying, and I would have heard, no, same bullshit, different season. And I would have been, and yeah, I probably wouldn't have followed through with it. I don't know if I would have stuck with the whole thing, or if I had stuck with the whole thing, I almost certainly would have pulled the cord after this season. Because it would have been, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
And I would have been grateful to Barrett for taking a bullet for me then, when I stopped watching, and he could tell me what was going on.
Yeah, because I would have been watching it regardless.
It was the same thing like with that Lord of the Rings series, is that I just...
Oh, that's worse.
Whatever the merits of it, whatever the merits of that as an adaptation, I watched like the first two or three episodes, and I never felt the itch to go back to it.
So you never saw the episode of the Bag of Holding Ship?
I don't think so.
Where they fit a whole army of horsemen and their horses on three ships.
I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I kind of remember that, them talking about getting on the ship. That was like the last thing I remember was taking.
Or the pyroblastic flow that an elf survives.
Yeah.
I would have, you know, but I compare that to something like when I first stumbled on Breaking Bad and I just binged that, those like first three seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a weekend or something
this
like
was
that.
So good.
It was so good.
And I just couldn't, or I'll go House of the Dragon, and I couldn't wait to rewatch that first episode again. It's like, all right, well, it's a thing, and we all know that there's just certain things when it clicks, it clicks. It's like when you listen to, if you remember back in the days when people gave a shit about albums of music, and you put on the album and you listen through the album, and you can immediately pick out, and you go like, all right, that's the song that's going to be the hit.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. That's the standout song.
Unless it's a Taylor Swift album and they're all hits.
No.
Go away.
I'm telling you. Sure. Oh, you sounded like Eric when you said that.
I sounded like Eric?
No, Mike, because he said go away.
No, but you do. But you also know, like, there's sometimes where just the album, like, you hear the album, you go, oof, that's an album that's solid beginning to end.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Like Who's Next? That album, Dark Side of the Moon,
Violator by Depeche Mode,
Red
the
by
Wall,
The Wall. Yes, that's a good one too.
Mind Crimes by, I can't think of the name of the group, but that album is awesome too.
Mind Crimes, they can't be that good. Mind Crimes.
I think it's called Mind Crimes.
Oh,
it's a theme album. As well.
Yeah, Queen Rick. Yeah. Queen Rick. Yeah. God damn it. The album with A Long Way to the Top when it's rock. AC/DC, but I can't remember the album. God damn it. Alright, well, at least Back in Black.
Or like the 90s movie soundtracks, the compilations that they put together. Those were usually really, really good.
Right. LA Woman by The Doors. That was a great album. I could talk about that all day.
Yeah, so the point is that there's a lot of them. But the point is you know when you hear this is a classic album, and then you're like, this is an album that's got a hit, some okay songs, and a bunch of stuff that should have been B-sides.
You get knocked out!
And this feels like a B-side. Really does.
Get knocked out. What's that song?
It's Tub Thumper.
Chumbawamba.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying, Mike. This is like, yeah, I guess this, the two seasons is side one and side two of the LP, and you find maybe one or two good songs on the album, and then that's about it.
Right.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's fair. Kind of reminded me of that Monarch Legend, Legacy of Monsters.
Yeah, or Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah,
that's good all the way through.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that sure is.
Now we've become a music podcast, so.
So anyway.
1989, Taylor's version. Anyway. All right, so back to this here. Yeah, that's the problem. It isn't really Halo. It's made up stuff by a showrunner.
It's fan fiction.
Yeah. It's not
based on it.
It's not even fan fiction because they're it's like they hate it.
Yeah, usually the fan is actually basing it on the source material, right, not admitting that we just don't.
That's right. And they would talk about a building that they that the Master Chief is fighting the flood or something. You know, something cool. This ain't cool. This is rubbish.
So it's bad.
You see the
fan
flood
fiction.
In like episode like yeah, the flood would be fiction. Like season 18. And actual Halo would be season 15 at this rate.
Well, I did say it at the beginning of this season's podcast. I go, it's not looking good when you see the last episode is named Halo.
Well, and I think that's the most egregious part of the whole thing is that it's a show called Halo and we're at the end of the second season and we still haven't gotten to the Halo yet. I mean, that's kind of lame.
Right, and Master Chief is the lead character, and he never wears his uniform.
Yeah.
That's horrendous as well. Yeah.
Again, if you made this as just generic sci-fi, that's one thing, but when you're actually taking an IP, this is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I mean, generally, this is fine as a non-IP, you know, but as an IP, it's like, this ain't no Halo.
But again, I think even the point, it's not even working on its own merits. It's not succeeding at being what it wants to be. And it's a mistake that it's trying to be something that it's not, that they're trying to write Halo onto a thing that's a different story. And even then, the Halo just isn't.
You know what they could have done, Mike? They should have, and that's the problem nowadays. Every TV show nowadays, it's because, and all these writers probably never have watched 1970s television. They could. Everybody wants to be like X-Files, which is we have to have. Well, this isn't even like X-Files because at least X-Files, a lot, 90% of it was still standalone episodes. Here, they could have just made Halo with standalone episodes. That's what.
We've been heading here. For ages, and I remember like two of the early ones. One after the O.J. Simpson trial, ABC tried a series called Murder One, and the whole thing was that it was one trial for the entire season.
Right.
You had Babylon 5, which was telling a single story over 5 years, seasons.
Right.
With mixed success. For a variety of reasons, and and it became more and more, and as people began the ability to record TV shows and watch them when they wanted, you didn't worry about them missing an episode, right? So you couldn't have, like, had Seinfeld and just killed George off in an episode because people might have missed that, and they come back, and they're like, where's George? What happened to George?
Well, and that's the reason why I stopped watching Better Call Saul, because I'm watching season one, and then, you know, they make I miss a couple of episodes because it's AMC. It's not, you know, a VOD service. And it's like, oh, forget it. I'm done. I don't know what's going on. So I stopped watching.
Well, it's all on Netflix now.
Right.
Yeah, right. Now that's it.
Very available. Yeah.
So, like, with very few exceptions, like, we did our Game of Thrones podcast. And if I would, like, say, we remember specific scenes in Game of Thrones. But with the exception of a couple of episodes, and most of those were episodes where they focused on one thing, I don't know that people go back and go, oh, I want to watch this one episode of Game of Thrones. I guess, sure, maybe someone says, I want to go back and watch the Battle of the Bastards, because that was almost an entire episode with just the one thing. But otherwise, it was just this, the storylines were so enmeshed and so spread out. It's not. It's like saying, I'm going to go back and read my favorite chapter of the book.
Right.
And you know, like The Wire, I love The Wire. I think The Wire was a fantastic TV show. Each season is its own thing, but each season is a book and each episode is a chapter. You don't just pick up one random chapter. You have to start the season at the beginning. Now, you may not start the series at the beginning. You may say, I really want to rewatch season four again, and that would work. But yeah, you're not getting like the even Star Trek, actually until the recent one, Discovery had been drifting away from episodic stories, not Discovery, Strange New World had been drifting away from episodic stories in terms of, a serialized story. And I don't think that really works on that same format. That was not the appeal of that show. That's me. You know, it's and I don't know what to do with Halo. I don't know that they know what to do with Halo. And I feel badly because I really think that there's people on here I know who were involved. I know some of the actors involved were really excited to be doing this. And I think they're just getting betrayed.
Yeah. Bastards. It's true. All right. Anything else on this episode here? Anybody want to bring it?
I think I'm good on my end.
Yeah. If anyone know, can someone please? We're six episodes in now. Six full episodes complete and done. How the fuck is McKee still alive?
They still have not told us, and I feel like they're not going to explain that. Which really
they have not
me.
Only not told us, they haven't even hinted.
Right.
Like, part of me wonders, like, is she, like, a clone? Is that why, like, the artifact wasn't responding to her? Of course, it wasn't responding to her until it maybe was at the end of the episode, or maybe it wasn't. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it responded as she was getting closer to it, and it was responding to Master Chief as he was getting closer to it. So, I don't know. That's what it seemed
exactly.
like to me.
I don't care.
Not explained well at all.
Yeah, well both her and Quan should be dead. Actually, they should have never been written into the series in the first
place. Why should Quan be dead? I don't remember her being in a scene where she was actually killed.
Because she just shouldn't be in the show, is what I mean.
Oh, that I get. That's different, though.
I just wonder
why she should be dead because she was killed.
Yes.
And we have no reason to know why she's alive.
Yes.
All right. And you're seeing scenes with McKee and the Arbiter speaking in subtitles, like, you know, and they still have to animate the damn Arbiter. So I don't know why they can't just do it with an Arbiter and the Priest, or just the Arbiter, or even why they even have to tell it from their point of view regardless, because we didn't get the story from their point of view, in at least in the early Halo games, right? There was no seeing things from the villain's perspective. The villain was just the villain.
Right? That's what I want. I don't care. I don't want them trying to humanize the villain.
Right. I just want them to kill the villain.
That's right. That's right. Yep. All right. So anything else on this episode here? Or general stuff. That Mackie question was an excellent question, Mike. All right. I guess that's it for the episode.
I'm hoping for better next week.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And that one's called...
Thermopylae, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it was based off of... It's supposed to be the name of a ship. Spaceship.
Which is based on the Greek story with the Spartans. The 300 Spartans.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. So since it's called Thermopylae, that means there is no Halo next week.
It'll be all on a ship, right?
Am I wrong? Isn't this the third time that Thermopylae has been referenced this season?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's just annoying writing to me.
Well, was it referenced as the ship, or was it referenced as the battle from the past? If it was referenced as the ship, it's fine.
It was referenced as the battle when they were doing the thing at the bridge.
Right.
They were definitely referencing
his speech.
Yeah, all right, then that's crap. A little cheesy.
But so it's a little head on, yeah, it's a little on the nose. It's like, okay, you did it. You had the Battle of Thermopylae. We're going to do another Thermopylae reference. Why?
right.
There's multiple Thermopylae's.
Yeah, a little on the nose. All right, so that episode comes out on March 14th, 2024. And we will be recording an episode on that episode on March 18th, 2024, to be released on March 19th, 2024. All right, so let's see what we got here. We got a little bit of time, so I guess we can get into some other genre stuff that may interest people who would listen to this podcast that would be interested in such things as video games, other TV shows, movies, books, or whatever that are related to a genre, sci-fi, and so forth. So if we have anything of note, or even news related to genre and stuff. So let's go with you, Sean. What do you got?
I'm not strong with this episode. Again, in the Gauntlet.
No, I'm talking about what you've been watching, things of that nature.
Oh. I haven't watched anything new. I've been just going through some old shows. So I was going back and doing a little bit of actually going back to Breaking Bad and going through that for a bit. And then just, I'm trying to think if there's nothing else that I've actually picked up. So. Nothing I can really add at this point. Sorry.
All right, that's good. No, that's fine. Barrett, what do you got?
So, like I said, I've been playing Grim Dawn as far as games, trying to get to the ultimate level of difficulty to see how well I can do on that. After that, we've been watching Only Murders in the Building, which I'm really enjoying. We're almost to the end of season two.
What channel is that on?
It's on Hulu.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
And what's that show about for folks who are just curious versus just hearing the name of it?
It's a murder mystery show with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and what's her name? No, I can't think of it. Selena Gomez.
Taylor Swift's friend?
I don't know. Is she?
Yeah. She was actually... in Rhode Island the week after all of us left New London, Connecticut. Because She was at the Taylor Swift's house, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
I think she's doing a really fantastic job of holding her own with two veteran actors and comedians. So, yeah, she's pretty impressive in it. And the show is just really well done. It's very enjoyable.
That's good. That's good. And
yeah, what had happened is Taylor Swift called her on the phone and said, Phil's left the state. It's okay to come.
Har, har, he, har. Yeah, because we were there. I was at the beach with my family, right in front of our house, because it's like on a cliff. And when we were all meeting for the Dark Discussions podcast meetup, and a week later, I had a break from her concert, and she and Selena were at the house. So they were, we just missed them by 4 days. Yep. Anyway.
I don't think they were having us over for tea.
No. They were barbecuing, as a matter of fact. Taylor was barbecuing and having some mixed beverages.
And so if you like murder mysteries, you might like this show.
Right, and what's it called again?
Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah. All right, very well. Only Murders in the Building. Only Murders. Oh, here it is. Let's bring it up. And it says, yep, Mr. Connie, yep. Selena Gomez, is she? Is she right? Well done. Oh, it's three seasons.
Yeah, huh? It just had a third. All right. And I've gotten to become more of a fan of murder mysteries if they're well done in recent years. So it kind of hooks me every time. So.
All right. Well, that's cool. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
All right. For me. Yeah, I've been playing Nier Automata more. And I'm almost done the game now, furthest I've ever gone, because I'm now playing the third part of the game. And you learn more and more about what's going on and conspiracies and stuff. Basically, the game is a game about alien invasion of Earth. And they have these aliens, they have these robots that they create to fight. And humans to defend, create these androids, and so it's a war between androids and robots. And then eventually the humans and aliens all die out, and the androids and robots are still there fighting each other because they're programmed to do so. And it goes, and this is now 10,000 years later, and the battle's still going on. And then basically the robots are becoming more human-like. And the androids are getting confused about it. And then you find out later that there's some interesting conspiracies going on with the robots and the androids. And I won't spoil it just in case people are curious to play the game. And then the television series, the anime, actually begins to make more and more sense because they go back into the stories and the twists that you learn in the game as you go further and further into the game. And now you understand why, I begin to understand why they're showing this in the anime. It's like, oh, that's part of this part of the game, because I hadn't gotten there yet. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So it's a really good game, really good television series. It's probably one of my favorite video games of all time, for sure. And the lead character, 2B, the android, she's an iconic character, and my daughter actually dressed up as her for Halloween 1 year, 2 years ago. But
better than Far Cry?
Yes. Far Cry 5. Right. Far Cry, the one that takes place in Montana, is unbelievable. But this game's better than that. Yeah. This is a great game. And the character's so iconic too. Like all the girls, or women, I should say, or girls, cosplay 2B all the time, at conventions. But, it's a great show, and a great, great video game. The game is really good. It's a hack and slash game, but a lot of, adventure to it as well. And it's a great story. The story
is it a first-person shooter type of game? Or?
No. It's over the shoulder.
Oh, isometric. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Which is good because, like I said, the characters that you play, 2B, 9S, and A2 are all iconic characters, especially 2B. And so you want to see them. So it's kind of cool that you actually get
What's
to see
the name
them.
Of the game again?
Nier Automata. So N-I-E-R and then Automata. A-U-T-O-M-A-T-A. It's in a universe of various other games, but it's a complete standalone. And unlike the other games, there's no mysticism or magic or ghosts or anything like that. So this is complete science fiction, hard science fiction.
And you gain levels and stuff and get abilities and
yes.
things like that?
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, you don't gain abilities. You gain computer chips because you're an android. So you can find computer chips, buy computer chips, and you plug them in. Yeah, okay. and you get new weapons and stuff, and so the levels, yeah, as you get higher in levels, the more stronger you get because you become more skilled. Yeah, and you get more hit points by putting in new chips and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yep, high recommend. It's from 2017, and got this remastered and the what's it called the God's version. Or something is what the game's called, the one you want to get, which is the Nier Automata God's Edition. Yeah, that's the one, the God's Edition. Yep. Become as God's Edition. That's it. Yeah, Become as God's Edition. Yeah, and that's pretty much all. If you search wherever you have games, that's the one that comes up anyway. So
yeah.
And then I've been watching, besides the Nier Automata show, I've been watching, All in the Family and Mr. Bean. So some fun stuff rather than just getting stuck into dark stuff all the time. And then I did see Dune.
Those two seem to go together.
Yeah, not really, but yeah, they work together. I mean, I don't think it's as weird as you think, Mike. I think, because I know you were being sarcastic there. They do. They both laugh your ass off stuff. It's good stuff. And then I saw Dune Part 2 at theaters, and I won't say my opinion on it until next week or later this week when we do a podcast episode. But I'll just say that I'm close to where Barrett was. Wherever it was, but so that pretty much is a good enough answer. That's it. So, Mike, what do you got?
Well, I've been without a TV until about a little over a week ago. So I haven't been watching a whole lot. So these last two episodes of Halo were the first two I've been able to watch on a television since that got fixed. So I also wasn't doing much gaming. I saw a bunch of films, but Dune 2 being the big one. Again, we'll cover that in a couple of days on the regular podcast. A little horror movie from India, which was a remake of another Indian horror movie that came out a couple of years ago. It was called Shaitan. And
what was it? What was it a remake of?
I don't remember the name. Something began
gotcha.
With a V.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's a not home invasion movie is the best way I could describe it. It's got elements of a home invasion movie, but it's really not. It's very different from any home invasion film you've ever seen before, if that's how you want to go. So I enjoyed that. And my wife and I, once we got the TV hooked up, finished watching the latest season of True Detective, which I don't think ended very strongly. I liked it how it started. I didn't like how it ended that much. And we're right now, I think, two episodes away from the end of Fargo season 5, and we really are enjoying Fargo season 5. With Juno Temple and Jennifer Jason Leigh and John Hamm and to Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall.
Oh, wow.
And it's, yeah, it's good. It's basically, Juno Temple plays a housewife who has a dark past, involving John Hamm, and it kind of catches up with her. And then, it's goes through the normal, idiosyncratic humor and violence that you know was a hallmark of certainly the Fargo film, and then the other seasons of the show. And I really think the show is really solid, has been since the first season. This may be my favorite season since the first. We'll see how it ends. And it's just really good at making memorable characters. And it's by Noah Hawley, who's the same guy who's done the whole thing, and he also did the Legion TV series on FX, which was just mind-blowing in a very literal way.
It was awesome.
and is also doing the new Alien TV series. So I really can't wait to see how that comes out. And I think that's really about... Oh, and the Bad Batch on Disney Plus restarted. And I think it's a really solid animated series. It's a Star Wars story, but it's basically about what's set at the very beginning of the Empire and how, you know, they really sort of solidify their control and sort of seeing things that, you know, we hadn't seen before, talked about before, and how they switch from clone troopers to stormtroopers. And really it is a sequel to the Clone Wars TV series. And the Clone Wars TV series, anyone who's watched it knows what they did really excel at was developing the character of the clones, of the clone soldiers. And this kind of continues that story arc, in a way that's surprising for what is nominally a family friendly show. It has a lot of adult themes, not like pornographic themes, although that's a whole other spinoff, but mature themes.
What show is this again? Is this
The Bad Batch?
Yeah, that's right.
So I definitely recommend it if you have any interest in a good Star Wars story. That's certainly better than any of the films they've put out in the last 20 years.
Yeah, no kidding. What channel is it on?
Disney Plus.
Okay. Oh, so yeah, I figured it would be, but if it was mature, I wasn't quite sure. If Disney
it's not. It's not mature rated. Kids can watch it, but there are dark moments in it, and there's some dark themes in it, and so one of the things is that you have this. It's basically the Bad Batch is referring to these four clone troopers that didn't come out right, and so they're sort of an oddball group, you know, a misfit group.
So it's not like the Harley Quinn animated series where it's definitely not for kids.
No, not even remotely. But okay. Then you have the issue where you have these four brothers, for all intents and purposes. And then when the Clone War ends and the Empire rises and three of them said, fuck this, we're out of here. And then one of them's like, no, you know, I think I'm still on board. And what does that mean? And that's a theme, like, where does that loyalty lie? And where do we respect the choices and decisions that our family and friends make? And how does that affect our relationship? And even that is not a very clear black and white story. It's not like he's just an out and out villain. He's a soldier. He has a job. He does his duty. And his duty is serving the Empire, you know, and every season there's a couple of episodes that will stick with him instead of following the nominal protagonists of the series. So, I think it's good. Does some really neat and interesting things. And it's in its finalized. It's in its third season. It's its final season. It'll be wrapping up soon to tell its full story arc, and who knows where they go next.
Fair enough. Anything else, Mike?
I think that's it.
All right. Sounds good. So before we give our final thoughts on Onyx, Mike, what's that other podcast that me, you, Barrett, and co-host Eric usually do? Actually, we do every week.
That would be the Mothership podcast. Mothership, because it's a drone that has no grays on it. But is the host podcast, the Dark Discussions podcast, the flagship podcast with the Dark Discussions News Network, is named after and is your source for horror, film, fiction, and all that is fantastic. And occasionally a Dune movie. And we might be hitting a couple of big films in the next couple of weeks, Dune 2 being the most notable one, but we've hit some smaller films. We hit a film, which was an anthology horror film called, was it the Midnight Peep Show?
Yeah, that's
yes, right. That's exactly
Midnight
it.
Midnight Peep Show. Spoiler warning, not worth it. But, you know, you hit some smaller and more obscure films, and then an occasional big film that everyone's talking about.
Yep, indeed. Barrett, what's the podcast that me and you do? And we have a bunch of co-hosts that join us at some points, including, I believe, Mike and Sean are going to be joining us for a Peacemaker episode. What's that all called there?
Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. We do just about everything there. Talk to directors, writers. We review books. We review TV shows. Pretty much everything.
Indeed. And... Sean, what's that podcast about a television series on Netflix that we just wrapped up?
That would be Boa Hancock and the One Piece, based on the live-action One Piece series that was on Netflix that came out last year that was very, very good. Watch it and listen to the podcast.
Indeed, indeed. And Mike, what's that other podcast that me, you, and co-host Eric do on the side?
It is Cinema a la Carte, where the three of us take turns picking some movie in the recent or distant past or somewhere in between that we want to talk about that otherwise has not fit comfortably in the umbrella of dork discussions.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So I guess we get into our final thoughts on Onyx. So what's up with you, Sean Fox?
So I'll start again because I was misplaced earlier. I was not a big fan of this episode. Too many questions and annoying things for me. I really want the series to be good. I want to be able to enjoy the episodes that I watch. And it just feels like there's been way more not enjoyment than there has been enjoyment of this. So that's how I felt for that last episode for Onyx.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, for me, it was all right. I mean, I had some really good points like the Arbiter battle, even though they did focus on Mackie, unfortunately, and a couple other things that were pretty decent. But generally, there was a lot of flaws with episode two, where they split the characters up and Quan jumping down the well, and that was just stupid. And you know, certain things like that. It is what it is. But hopefully, next week's episode will be a little better. Let's go with you, Barrett.
I generally like the episode. There are a lot of flaws just in general with the show, in total. But I had fun with this episode. It is what it is.
All right. Sounds good. And let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I hated the episode. I think I said I found it meh, and that kind of is what it is. And it's the kind of thing that I'm okay with it kind of while I'm watching it, even though I'm like, that doesn't really does that. It doesn't hold up on any reflection. It doesn't have a lot of depth to it, in my opinion. The writing is filled with conveniences and coincidences and people doing things because we need to have them do it to move the plot along instead of having a strong narrative, strong characters, you know, logical decision-making. Certainly, I think you guys raised the point that there's things they could be explaining better to the audience, because it's sort of like, we're not going to do Halo, but we are going to do Halo, but we're not going to do Halo, but we will do Halo, but we're not going to do Halo, but when we do Halo, we're not going to explain what the Halo stuff is that's going on. And it just, so I find it, I guess, more of a frustrating experience. Like I said, I didn't hate it. It's not like terrible. I've seen terrible TV. This is not terrible, but it's also not good or compelling in the way that they want it to be. And having, you know, and we kind of went through the whole list, so I'm not going to go through it again. But yeah, I would say a very meh episode.
All right, sounds good. So that's pretty much it. So once again, the episode was called Onyx. Next week is Thermopylae.
Penultimate.
Yes, the penultimate episode, as a matter of fact, yep. So we'll talk about that next week. And that's pretty much it. Don't forget to switch over to another podcast app or website or wherever, because if you're a Google podcast, that's going away very shortly. So make sure you subscribe to us. on one of the other places as well. And leave us reviews wherever you can leave us reviews. And you can also send our podcast anywhere on social media to promote us, so you know, let people know about us. And email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com. Put Halo in the subject and whatever else you want to let us know your thoughts, as Mike asked a pretty good question earlier in the episode. And with all that stated, Mike, what are you listening?
Thank you once again for listening to Cortana's Communiques. This has been episode 6 of season 2, Onyx. Tune in next week when we complain about Thermopylae.